Good morning. Today is Wednesday, August 26th, 241st day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor. You've been to the fair yet, Virginia Bass? Are you a horse race girl?
I used to be, but you know, I'm one of those. I'm always afraid something's going to happen to the horse. Okay, you know, and I might lose my $2.
You're rooting for the horse, huh?
I've always wanted to go on one of the hat days and
a hat day.
Well, you know, they have like the But I have a class reunion that weekend, so that's not gonna work.
Oh, okay. That'd be one of those younger classes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm trying to be nice.
Yeah.
It's not holding much water, but
it's really difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Our quote this morning comes from Julius Caesar.
Julius Caesar?
Julius.
Oh, Caesar. I thought Julia was his unknown wife.
No, not Julius Caesar, no. Only to his closest friends. Quote, I love the name of honor more than I fear death. I guess you almost need that warrior mentality sometimes, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In many things.
Yeah. Speaking of which, what's going on? Anything cooking with the airport? I know you guys have spent, it's kind of like an interesting race. What's going to happen first? Airline or the general plan? Airline, general plan.
You know, I could kick your shin right now.
Yeah.
I won't.
Gotcha.
I won't put any bets out there. You know, I know you've had Greg Foster on now that he's back with Redeck, and a lot of the Fly Humboldt efforts have really, taken off.
Sure, and bad puns are always encouraged.
To land a service. Okay, that's the end of my puns for the day. But 2 weeks ago, we had a confidential briefing. And the people who've been donors to the Fly Humboldt efforts were invited. And so we had a really nice briefing, which basically, you know, we had people sign a form saying it's not meant to be out in the public because a lot of these things are negotiations and companies who are talking to you don't necessarily like all that information.
Sensitive information, yeah.
So, but it was really interesting because in that brief hour, you know, there's a whole history of why it's challenging and why, you know, airports are struggling all over. But the best part, you know, of course, was at the end, was we've had 2 weeks ago, there was three conversations with people who were really interested in serving our community. They just have to make sure that the numbers could work with them or for them. And, you know, there's work that has to be done, but I think the fact that there were three conversations in 1 week is a really good indicator that there's interest. And I think,
do the numbers change that much?
I don't know. Boy, that's not one
for them. For them to get new numbers or current numbers, I would think that the 5-year historical trend would more than give them indication whether 1 week or 1 month.
Yeah, you know, I think it's changing from the perspective that their business plans are seeming to change all the time. Their capacity that they want to have, you know, I think they're constantly adjusting in order to make it work for them as a business. So,
right, okay.
So yeah, you do have the historical trend, but you know, you also have the ability now to get, you know, really good information about people who travel to wherever from here, but not necessarily flying out of here. They could be getting on somehow. I don't know how this is like.
Leakage.
This is, yeah. There's some. It's very much leakage, and I don't know how they track it, but there are ways to track it. So we got to get them numbers and show that we're a good place for them to be.
And good place to go. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Virginia Bass and her cookie.
I probably shouldn't have taken a bite right now.
It's always interesting for those of us outside to look in and hear the discussion, see what's going on, see what the impacts are. Whether it's Measure Z, which I think is one that's getting a lot of people's attention, or whether it's like the airport or paving roads during or slip outs and things like that during the wet weather season. All that kind of stuff. How difficult is it for you, having all this information pumping through, to really stay abreast of it all?
You know, my weekends generally are taken up with a lot of reading. And I'm one of those people, I print what I read. I'm not really good at the computer.
You're not a Kindle girl?
I have a Kindle to read, but when I'm doing work that I really wanted to take notes on, it's hard. But, you know, like even for the mapping meetings, you get a couple hundred pages on Friday for what you need to do on Monday. And most of it is pretty, you know, basic, but you want to go through it. You have to go through it. And then you can't keep up on, I can't be an expert on everything. We have great people in our departments that if something comes to me that I can't answer, I can go and get the answer. You know, what I think is almost harder recently is people, you know, in the community, we love it when they come and do public comment. But just because someone thinks we should be looking at some issue doesn't mean that we can jump as a board to deal with that, because there's staff time. There's, you know, so I've had some real recent examples where I got totally slammed in one of our local publications by one of those, an author that used to actually sign other people's names, but I won't say who this letter writer was, but anyone who's listening probably could figure that out. Full of misinformation, but it was all based on some item not being brought before the board. And it's like, you know, if you have an item and you direct staff to deal with it, you're taking them off of something else. And we have so much that we have to get done right now.
So
there's prioritization that that's has what I was to saying. Happen.
Yeah, it was an individual's priority, not necessarily the county.
Most of these things, you know, most of what people bring us actually would be wonderful to tackle immediately, but some things take a lot of staff time and there's money. I've actually spent my own personal money researching this one item because I think there could be some value to it, and I'm not throwing it out there. I don't want to because I think it could be a very
viable. Yeah.
So I'm spending my own money doing separate research, having someone, I'm asking someone to help me because I'd rather spend some of my resources to find out if it's something that I think, that I've got more information about before I bring something to the board and, try to direct
Most of those, let's call them comments, suggestions from the floor. I would think that if there's not a grain of salt, but let's say there's something that of significance associated with that discussion, that somebody in one of the departments would already have been aware of it. Now, maybe it was a phone call that was made. Yeah, we checked it out, and here's what we found, and dismissed. Or, hey, there might be something here, but we just don't have the time to investigate it right now, and it's not a ticking time bomb.
And is it something that's affecting
multiples,
a big group of people, or is it some, and like I said, most of the issues have, I think actually most every comment you can find there's validity, and obviously it means very much to the person that's there. But it's frustrating when there's kind of a lack of understanding, and I think it said we circumvented the public process. It's like, no, the public process is what exactly we're going through, and just like everything else.
One of the joys of the internet, huh?
Well,
we have it, we have some here also, and people perceive that they know, and they'll start throwing things out.
Yep.
And it's like, no. We can use program changing.
Yeah.
No, you have to. No, we don't.
It's a
different thing. So I think once it moves into that from logic to emotion.
Well, and some people just
now it becomes a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, some people like to stir the stuff, and
they're putting stirrers.
This letter writer I was mentioning is known to be one of the biggest one of those around.
So why,
without saying, it's really hard.
So why let it get to you? You say, you know, thank you very much for your input, and we'll do some research.
Yeah, well, you should have seen the letter I was writing back. Oh, but
I see you purged it already, huh? Good.
Yes.
I think that's, and I would suggest that that's one of the challenges of being in a public position, is that you got to know when it's worth spending your time and your effort and your energies, or department's time, effort, energy, right, and staff time, to pursue or not to pursue. I mean, just, you know, good thing you're not running for assembly or something like that, where you're really in focus, huh?
Yeah. And well, everybody, but you also have staff. Pouncing. You also have staff. You have. It amazes me. Marin County, each supervisor has two personal assistants to do their stuff. I was finding
should have
out.
Moved to Marin, huh?
Well, it's funny because, you know, we're going, well, you know, I should do a regular newsletter. And so I was asking this supervisor when he was passing through town. It's like, how do you do that? And he goes, well, I don't do it. I said, oh, you have people?
You farm know? It out? Okay,
yeah,
fine.
So it's kind of funny.
Somehow I don't know if the PR budget is going to be there before the travel budget arrives, huh?
I don't think so.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, on to another issue when we come back. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, there's been a fair amount of discussion about homeless, no surprise. Housing, no surprise. Changes, no surprise. And I guess some of the low-density housing, some of the flop houses, things like that are now starting to come into focus a little bit. Landlord responsibilities, government responsibilities. Is there a lot of progress, or is there now just kind of a focusing of the lens and there'll be some action later on?
You know, when you say that, I think mostly of just what I see in the city, which is different than, you know, I'm kind of...
Well, you're Eureka-centric.
But Eureka. Yeah. And, you know, I think they have really narrowed the focus to the motels or, you know, ones that don't quite operate as motels.
Long-term stay.
Well, weeding out the bad players. And, yep, you know, we're seeing a couple examples. I understand there's, like, one that's for sale. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion in the community on, you know, should those be, can they be repurposed for some type of housing? Where is it appropriate? Where is it not? And I think that the...
Are we spending a ton of time doing that? I remember the one, and I don't remember the name. Was it the Triangle? I don't...
Oh, yeah. That was by us.
Down by you guys, there was one at this end, Christie's Motel.
Right. Christie's is still there.
But it's another.
Yeah.
I mean, there are successes that have occurred over the years in addressing this stuff. Yeah. Do you have to reinvent the plan, or is it just to take it, fill in the blank, and execute it?
Well, the Triangle was a little bit different. I mean, that was one of the first examples that I recall of the neighborhood banding together and doing the nuisance lawsuit, and it was an absentee landowner, whatever you want to call him. Whoever owned it. Ended up it was made more sense to him to just take it down, which was probably
right.
Whether, and it's too bad, you know, that he didn't really want to build more housing there. But at that time, you know, I don't think housing was as much in the foremost of people's minds.
It was a win.
Yeah. It was challenging for a while, but, you know, throughout the town, there's been several that have not been good. And when the city passed their ordinance, you know, based on excessive calls and tier one, tier two, tier three, and, you know, now they're getting to the part of that, I think, where they can force the enforcement. And I think, you know, the question that I hear a lot is, well, is this a role for government, and you know, government really can't do all the housing. Is this a wonderful opportunity for someone to, you know, build some, you know, of the
have a design
lower
development
income, or for, something. So I think there's a lot of opportunity, and there are the single residential, they call them SROs, but the smaller occupancy units that many communities use, and you know, that's a concept that I don't know if we've totally flushed it out here. We've talked about it for years, but so there's opportunity.
Something along like 600 square foot kinds
of
things.
There's a
the IKEA display house.
Yeah,
everything's tight, compressed.
And some of those, you know, there's some that would only have a very small cooking space. I don't know what the actual. I think different communities can. You kind of have to say what it's going to be in your.
But isn't that stuff that government can either support or incentivize to have constructed?
Yeah. I mean, that's what, you know, there are funding available for a lot of different projects like that. It's just someone's got to be willing, and it's a competitive process. You have to take your...
Right, the county building department isn't going to go out there with a hammer and saw and start doing it.
No, and you, this is state. I mean, you have to go... This is not just necessarily local funds that they're going, yeah, you can... This is a great project. So... There's a lot involved, and right now, you know, we're talking about the housing stock, and you know, we've talked a lot about the multiple assistance center and how it's now changed from the families to the singles and couples without children, and you know, what we're finding is it's working well, and it's very, you know, it's only been less than 2 months, and you know, you've got over 30 people who have been in. I think 5 have gotten housed. But the problem we're going to run into is as people start being able to move beyond the center to housing, you have to have housing. And some people don't need, it's not like you need a whole house. It could be a room in a house. And we've had some wonderful community members actually step forward and say, you know, hey, I've got 17 rooms in a facility we have, you know, that becomes available housing stock, you know, because some people, you know, and it's we're having to be very creative, but we are a very creative community. But it's interesting doing outreach and just saying, I've said it here before, even if for veterans housing or anything else, if, you know, these folks that are going through the MAC are transitioning and being followed with support team, they actually will be some of the best tenants people can get. And they come because they have people who support them as they're going through the process. And you know, there's basically guarantees for landlords that if anything bad happens to your property, it will be fixed. And you know, it's asking people to give people a chance. And same with jobs, you know, folks that are in the facility are wanting jobs. There are people who are beyond retirement age that are having a hard time finding jobs, but they're in there and they want to work. And so we're reaching out, asking people in the community, if you know, would like to help someone get back on their feet, these are individuals who could really be very good workers for you.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:42. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, the concept of the MAC and transitional housing and high density and affordable housing, all that kind of stuff, is it working in Humboldt County?
Well,
after
2 months,
yeah.
You know,
20 years. I mean, there's been a number of programs, a lot of grants, a lot of this, a lot of that. Is it working in general terms, or is this a stage for folks to go to, and it just kind of is a stage that they go to?
You know, I think I see your question a little more broadly. Just in the standpoint that what we've done through the years, yes, it's helped a certain segment of people. Some have been very successful. But when you look at the national models, maybe it's not been the best way to help people. And so while there's been success, I think it's been limited just in how we focus or how we were focusing. And considering like the switch at the Mac, families are still being served just in a different environment, a different way, you know, more in the different locations. And the singles now are being able to be served. So we've broadened, you know, the amount of people we can reach, but we're also doing it in a way that will provide better success. You know, you can read.
You got Arcata House, you got Mac, you've got all the nonprofits, you've got, you know, the various kitchens, all these support entities that are out there. Is it working?
You know, I think it could work better. You know, okay. I a friend of mine recently, actually Charlotte, was down in Santa Cruz, and she got to she was talking to some economic development people and met with this group of leaders in the community that actually one of them was a friend of mine. But what they do is it's like they banded together, you know, this group of disparate individuals, business, people that wouldn't necessarily be in the same room together. They've taken bus trips places to actually kind of immerse themselves in what other communities are doing. They feel like they have a homeless issue there, but it's different. It's not the same visible. And they've got this program, I think it's called 180 and 180, that's like where they housed 180 people in 180 days. And it's worked well. And, you know, I think what we do is we keep looking at who's doing it better. And nothing stops us from getting together and going down and spending a day in Santa Cruz and learning about their facility. Just like going to see Catholic Charities when we were all, you know, helping Betty, you know, kind of get up and running. I think it was an opportunity to see how somebody's doing it better. And we can always do better. And we'll never be perfect. And we'll never eliminate homeless, okay. You know, but we'll do our best to try.
So what is the next big thing that's out there? What's the next in this progression for housing?
Well, you know, I'm going to divert away from that and go to what's the next big progression and, you know, what are some of the visible issues that we associate with homelessness, which is really isn't homelessness, is the panhandling. I really want to just keep mentioning, you know, let people know that our community needs to make a stronger effort at discouraging people from giving money to the panhandlers on the street. It's not the best way to help people, and that's been proven. But it's really hard, and, you know, we've actually got one business that I am very thankful for who is posted outside the building, please do not give to panhandlers. Most businesses don't want to offend their customers either way, so they won't do that. But the customers that get panhandled are pretty darn offended, too. So,
just say no.
Just say no.
Thanks for coming by. We've been Talking Shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.